Are you an adventurer looking to take your hunt to the next level? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the East Meets West Hunt podcast presented by Spartan Forge. On today's episode, I have a little bit of a different kind of story to tell here, and I'm really excited to go through this one. But really, it's I'm just going to go through kind of my entire journey of, you know, starting East Meets West and what has came to be, because ultimately, just recently here, I quit my full-time job and will be doing this full-time. 100% born in the Appalachian Mountains and made in the USA, Timber Ninja Outdoors provides a range of mobile hunting options to accommodate diverse hunting preferences. Whether you prioritize comfort, lightweight design, or versatility, their two-panel and single-panel saddles collection has something for everyone. The Black Belt Nano is the lightest single-panel saddle available on the market, weighing in under a pound. The saddle is designed with the minimalist hunter in mind, focusing on lightweight functionality and breathability. One notable feature is the patent-pending magnetic stick clip system on the side, which allows for convenient transportation of sticks up the tree, as well as a built-in platform holder. The Nano saddle can be folded up to the size of a Nalgene bottle, enabling easy portability. With a four-way stretch material on the back for a comfortable fit, as well as strategically placed padding for hip pinch relief, you can use code EASTMEETSWEST to get free shipping on any Timber Ninja order. If you try it out and don't like it, send it back within 30 days for a full refund. Learn more at TimberNinjaOutdoors.com and sign up for their email newsletter for exclusive discounts and product drops. Maven makes the highest quality optics at half the price of their competitors through their direct-to-consumer business model. The brand new B7 represents the expansion of their compact lineup and is designed to be more compact and portable than their acclaimed B3 Bino. With a smaller objective lens, the binocular takes a significant leap in terms of size reduction. The B7 is available in both an 8x and 10x option, making it their most compact premium binocular yet. If you're looking for something that will fit in your pocket for deer hunting, turkey hunting, or scouting missions, but still want crystal clear optics, check out the new B7 from Maven. All their optics come with lifetime, no-fault warranty. If you run it over with your truck or your significant other chucks it at your head, they'll repair or replace it. Use code EASTMEETSWEST-GIFT for a free gift on any full-price optics order at MavenBuilt.com. Better Backstrap's mission is to provide the highest quality seasoning for the meat you work so hard for. They wanted to give hunters another choice besides the big box store brands full of fillers and preservatives. Born right here in Pennsylvania, Better Backstrap Seasonings will turn up the taste of your wild game. Right now, you can pick up their sampler gift box, which includes gun seasoned garlic, tall tine taco, and the original seasoning in a custom gift box. You can use the code EASTMEETSWEST for free shipping at betterbackstrap.com. For all of those that want a truck bed cover for work or play, Diamondback makes the top-of-the-line, heavy-duty covers that help you do more with your truck. They're perfect for the truck-owning, avid sportsmen, outdoor enthusiasts, and weekend project warriors. I'm currently using the HD cover that is capable of holding up to 1,600 pounds on the top, and then I have the Yakima Overhaul HD bars on top so I can put my rooftop tent on it. When I'm not using my rooftop tent and able to use the trifold design of the Diamondback, I have the Crossbin 8 in there to organize all of my stuff in the back of my truck bed. Diamondback is made right here in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. If you want to check them out, head over to diamondbackcovers.com. And it's really crazy for me to be able to say that. And I've actually even debated on, you know, making this video and podcast. I wasn't sure. I didn't feel confident enough that, you know, I had the ability to be able to say this or to be able to talk about it I don't want to sound, you know, arrogant by any means or anything along those lines, I guess. But I think one of the things I get asked a lot is just about, you know, how I got started, how this is went. And, you know, now with being able to do this full time, it's kind of a crazy journey. And if from the outside looking in, it may look like, oh, you know, you started the podcast a few years ago and all of a sudden you went full time. Through this process of like deciding that, you know, maybe this is something that I can do full time, and me wanting to go on these, you know, extravagant hunts to Alaska and out west every year, I realized that, you know, I worked a regular job. I wasn't making a ridiculous amount of money or anything. So I had to figure out how to, you know, budget for it and figure all of that out. And for me, it was like, okay, I need to get rid of as many expenses as I possibly can. So I went and looked at everything and I was like, okay, where am I? You know, at the beginning I had a Razor side by side. I had a newer truck. I had all these different things that were costing me money. I had high rent. So, you know, that was part of my decision for moving back home, was the lower cost of living. I could, you know, buy a house that didn't cost as much. And I, you know, sold my side by side, used that money to pay off my truck. And then all I had was, you know, a house payment essentially. And well, I guess I paid off my student loans in that process too, but I lived, you know, pretty frugally and didn't spend unnecessary money on things that I didn't need to. But I valued experiences over, you know, material items. And I just had that in my mind with this goal. That's why, you know, it takes a while to be able to do that. So for me to make a jump and go do this full time with, you know, if I had, you know, a $700 a month truck payment, and, you know, I had a mortgage that was $2,000 a month or whatever, and all these other things, and student loans debt through the roof, like that'd be a lot harder to be able to do than being able to clear those things out ahead of time. So my risk level was much lower. And that's kind of something that I think is really important, and I wanted to make sure that I hit on here, is like there's a lot of things that you have to plan for to be able to get to this point and be able to give this a shot. It was a lot longer of a story than that. It really started back in 2015, I believe, so 7 years ago. I had started reading books from entrepreneurs and just started learning about other opportunities. I'd graduated college in December of 2013 and started working full time. And I just thought, you know, that's just what you're supposed to do. You just go out, you get a job, you get a degree, you get a job, and you work, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just felt like this wasn't for me, and I just wasn't fully embraced in that entire work life. I wasn't into it. And, you know, and it may sound lazy, but I knew that I wasn't lazy, and I just wanted to put my effort into something that was more than that. And so what I did was, I started reading these books and learning about, you know, trying to be the best person that you can and being able to optimize yourself and always educating and learning. And I've really loved learning for a long time. I just, especially about things I like and that I want. So I've been, you know, trying to learn from these books and these videos and these. I believe it was some sort of a master class and an online course, and just trying to learn about these types of things. And my original goal was I wanted to own an archery shop, and that was what I wanted to do. And so in 2016, I had lost my job. The manufacturing facility I worked at had shut down, and I lost my job, and I moved to just north of Pittsburgh and had to go down there. And it was like a whole different world to me. I felt like I was, you know, kind of just completely out there on my own and a new place. And through my last job, I had met someone, a good friend of mine, by the name of Chuck, and he had helped with, he had owned a bow shop, and he's like, would you want to help out and, you know, just work a couple days a week down there after your regular day job? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to learn the ins and outs of an archery shop, because that's ultimately what I wanted to do. And so I went down to the Bucks and Bows Archery, and I worked there for I guess it was 2.5 years before I left and moved back to my hometown. But when I left my hometown and went there, it was the best thing that could have possibly happened to me. Me losing my job was by far the best thing that could have happened to me. So when I went down to the bow shop, I didn't really know anything about working on bows or equipment. And Rick, who's a store manager down there, and you know, he helped me a lot, but he started me, you know, sweeping floors and cutting arrows and doing some of the very minor tasks, I guess, because they couldn't trust me working on a bow. I don't know if I really ever got to that point where they did, but I started there and just wanted to learn, and you know, anything that I got, I don't think I ever took a dollar out of that shop. I just used it to buy new bows or gear or anything else. I just loved doing it. It was just kind of like a bonus for me to be able to do that. And I realized I love talking to people and learning, and just by that experience, I started getting really into system building with clothing and Sika gear. We were a dealer, and I quickly became the go-to guy at the shop for building people out with systems and educating them on why performance clothing can help you and explaining that whole process. And I just continually started, you know, just working my way up through there, and you know, then got to go to the ATA show, got to meet a bunch of people, and just it was a really good networking tool, but also just something that, you know, when you think about like trying to get in the hunting industry, it's everybody wants to go right to the top and do that, and that's not the way that it really works most of the time. I'm sure some people do, but for me, it took a while and it took some working through it. And again, I didn't really even know at that point that I wanted to work in the hunting industry other than I wanted to own an archery shop. But what I learned there was the archery shops are the busiest during the times leading up to hunting season and during hunting season. And I just decided I didn't want to do that because that's where I wanted to be, in the woods. So that was good that I got to have that experience and do it, but it just wasn't 100% for me. But I knew I loved talking about hunting with customers, and I loved that whole part of it. So I was going to be leaving there, and while I was there, I started going out west and started hunting. I read Cameron Haynes's book, Backcountry Bow Hunting. It really got me into wanting to go out west, and then I discovered Donnie Vincent and watching some of his films, and I loved that whole aspect of it. I used to film a lot of stuff when I was into BMX back in middle school and going into high school. And I always liked camera type stuff and doing that. So I started like going kind of a different direction, and I was doing these hunts out west. And after my first one, I just wrote a story for myself, and my brother and I filmed it. But I wrote a story and I submitted it to the journal Mountain Hunting, which still is an online journal, and they had a subscriber story. They picked one subscriber story every month, and they would release it on there. And I titled it East Meets West, which was the name my brother, I have to give him credit, Kurt, he came up with that. And they were like, we love this story, you know, telling about that experience and going to the backcountry for the first time. And, you know, I just kind of laid it all out there. And that was the first time I really did any writing other than in school. Like I never really had a thing for writing, but Adam Yonke from the journal Mountain Hunting, he's like, man, I'd love to get some more writing from you from that Eastern perspective. So I started writing more, and I was sharing it on social media, and some people that were following me and stuff there. I'd always been posting photos and stuff, so I was gaining a little bit of traction from a following standpoint. And everybody, you know, was like, oh, I wish I could do that hunt. I wish I could go out west, but I don't have that money. I don't have the time. And I was like, well, actually, it's not, you know, if you budget it right and you do it DIY or you do this, like you can make that happen. And if you plan for these things, you can do more. And that's where like this things start clicking. At that point, there was podcasts that started popping up. You know, you had Cody Rich and Brian Call and some other Western hunting podcasts that I really got into. And when I was like, I want to do that. I want to do it because I want to talk to people that were way more successful than myself and learn from them to be able to become a better Western hunter, you know, personally. And I was like, well, if I throw a mic on, then I can help others the way that these people have all helped me to be able to realize that these opportunities are available. So as I had this idea in my head, it took me, I don't know, a year or two before I really kind of it came to fruition. And so in January of 2018, I was at the ATA show with Bucks and Bows, and I told Rick at the bar, I remember sitting next to him and telling him, like, I have this idea. I want to do a podcast. And he's like, what? You know, like, you know, he was supportive of it, but he wasn't really sure what I was talking about and what I wanted, what I was going to do with it. So it was, you know, this, okay, yeah, go for it, you know. But it took me a little while, and I was like learning about business and how to start it up. And April 2018, I registered the business with the state of Pennsylvania and started getting hat and shirt designs made up because I loved apparel. So I wanted to like design my own hats, and I have a million hats at home. So I was like, I wanted to design some of that stuff. I learned how to use Adobe Illustrator and drew up my own logo, which took me way too long. I should have just hired that out. I just kept trying to learn more and more and see what was possible and what I could do. The Spartan Forge app utilizes years of military background and machine learning to pull from millions of data points to accurately predict deer movement with over 30 years of GPS collar data, trail camera data, academic, and state research. The app is a complete tool for planning your hunt with incredible aerial imagery, mapping, journaling, and some of the most accurate and detailed weather data. The latest update is huge. One feature that I'm using a lot during the rut is LiDAR. LiDAR basically removes the trees from the landscape and allows you to see every nook and cranny, logging road, boulder, etc., with some areas having 1 meter data, which just means that you can see any deviation in the land as small as 3 feet. During the rut, I will look for logging trails that intersect with key terrain features such as ditches or draws to funnel deer movement. Use the code EASTMEETSWEST to save 20%. And if you're still on the fence, give the 14-day free trial a chance at SpartanForge.ai. CVA has been America's number one selling muzzleloader brand for over a decade. Hunting with a muzzleloader opens up a ton of hunting opportunities across the U.S., and I've been using the Acura series. But they don't only make badass muzzleloaders. Their line of centerfire rifles are great quality and not terrible on the wallet. The Cascade short barrel is ideal for tight quarters, deer drives, and for quick shots in the big woods. You can check out their line of muzzleloaders, rifles, and accessories for every season and every range at bpioutdoors.com/CVA. If you use the code EASTMEETSWEST10, you'll get 10% off of all CVA products, which includes rifles, muzzleloaders, and accessories. With that, so, and I was dragging my feet a lot, and because the year previous, I'm just stepping back just for a second here. I talked to Brian Call at the Total Archery Challenge, from the Gritty podcast, and Brian, I was like, hey, I want to start a podcast, you know, like you, what do I need? And he was generous enough to give me that information as now I've come to learn after having a podcast, you know. It seems like hundreds of people every year asking, oh, I want to start a podcast. What do I need? What do I need to do? So the fact that he took the time to explain that to me, I really appreciated. But it took me still a while to do it. And that's where where Rob Chalinski from the Total Archery Challenge came into play. And I got to know him from the archery shop and going to shoot Total Archery Challenges. I told him about this idea, and he's like, let me talk to Sean, who owns TAC, and let's see if we can work something out to be able to help you and get a booth and get things rolling. He's like, can you get all the equipment to start doing your podcast, you know, in the next 3 weeks? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So I ordered everything on Amazon right then and there, and literally showed up the Total Archery Challenge with no idea how to even use the equipment. Brian Call and then Jordan Harbertson from Mountain Ops showed me kind of how to use it. They were my first episode that I went and recorded. So it was, and I ended up recording like 13 episodes over that weekend. And, you know, I did them with him. I did them with Matt Comet, who's become a really great friend of mine and a mentor. And I did one with Greg Litzinger, who's just here at the Mountain Buck Scouting Camp and has become a really good friend of mine. And Sloan Brown, when he just started his job at Yeti at that point. Like I got all these connections from doing this and just realized how much I loved talking to people and learning from people. And they all had their own, sort of aspect with it. And it made me think about life differently and what was possible. And I really owe a lot of it to just the Western hunting side of things and how it took a lot of discipline and consistency at working at it, from working out to shooting my bow and all these things, to try to become successful at it. And it just kind of created a different version of myself that I definitely changed as a person over those years. And when I was decided to move back home and take another job, you know, that, it sucked leaving the bow shop. I loved working there. I loved those guys and everything, but I was like, I want to continue to do this thing on the side, but, I wanted to be closer to home where I had the ability to hunt more. With living, you know, in the suburbs, I had to drive a lot more and stuff. So I put myself in a location that would allow me to be able to do more of that. And hunting big woods, you know, mountain bucks is like what I've grown up doing my whole life. But I didn't talk about that as much beginning of the podcast, as it was focused more around Western hunting. And I just decided to talk about it. I was like, no one wants to hear about me talk about how these low deer density areas and these relatively small deer compared to some of the Midwestern places. But I was pleasantly surprised that people did. And that was kind of like, you know, with the Western hunting thing, I was very just brand new to it and didn't know a whole lot. But the whitetail side of things, you know, I didn't consider myself an expert or anything, but I definitely had experience to be able to back that up, and a family that's just been doing it forever and has taught me so much. So that's where kind of like the big woods whitetail thing came into it. And that started to evolve. And I wanted to keep learning more. And this is an important part of this whole thing, is like the willing to learn and the willing to spend money on willing to learn and furthering, you know, your education, not from the standpoint of college, but from the standpoint of online courses. And by going to workshops and classes and all those things helped me so much. And like one of the ones was, the hunting photographer course that Stephen Drake and Zach Boughton put on. And I signed up for that, and that was expensive. I was like, man, I don't know. It was like $1,000 or $1,200. And I'm like, that's a lot for this, but they were teaching the business side of this. And I'm like, is there an opportunity to be able to make money doing this thing that I love? And I learned a lot from that course. And also I wanted to become a better photographer to add more value to my customers, being the magazines, being the online blogs that I was doing for the writing side of it. And that's where I met Justin Mueller, him and I were in the same class together. And when Justin reached out to me and was like, hey, you doing any hunts out west this year? I'd love to come film you. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know this guy. I've never had a hunt really filmed before. So it was I felt kind of risky of like spending 14 days with somebody I never met before, but he's pretty persistent. And, Justin's actually the one filming this right now, but he's persistent on it. And we came to an agreement to go give it a shot. And he's like, I want to make a film out of it, and let's enter it in the Badlands Film Festival. So went out, and that's when I ended up, after 4 years of hunting elk, killed my first elk on the first day of the hunt, and Justin had some epic footage of it, put together just a sweet film that we released on my YouTube channel. And that kind of opened up my eyes to the whole filming side of things and being able to do that. But I just, at that point, the podcast was starting to grow and I was starting to do some different things. And I just kept going to shows. I kept going to things and meeting people and talking to people, not from the aspect of like asking for anything, just I like meeting people. But what that did do is once my podcast grew to a point where I was getting quite a few people listening every episode, that allowed me to, when I, you know, approach some of these companies or some of the companies that approached me to work with me on a level of like a partnership side of things, it was okay. Yeah, this makes sense. And then I started generating some income off of that and generating income from writing and learning how to add value for somebody else. And then, you know, then they were able to give value back to me. And as I started doing this and it started growing, I was like, man, there's a real opportunity here for me to be able to, you know, potentially do this full time. And I, like, as I said, you know, a couple times here already, like I love learning and I love educating and I like being able to see how much that people have helped me. And there's endless amount of people that have been out there. I've named just a few, but so many that have helped me through this journey, and definitely not me alone. And I'm like, okay, so if I can help somebody else by putting out this information, then, you know, maybe I can change their lives and be able to help with it while doing, you know, selfishly what I love to do. And that's where it really kind of clicked for me that this is possible, and shifted my gears to doing more research and learning on the business side, the entrepreneurship side. Heather Kelly from Heather's Choice has been a giant mentor to me, and Cody Rich from Rich Outdoors being a part of, you know, just recently part of his ideas lab and the Rich Life Academy, like all those things. Todd Bumgardner from Human Predator Pack Mule, he's been a really big help and mentor towards me. Like there's been so many different people, and like the support system, my parents and my girlfriend and all these other people that have been really supportive of me to like, okay, this is something that you can make happen full time. And it just kept growing to a point where, yeah, I'm sitting in a place where I realized, I told myself at the beginning, like, or not right at the beginning, but when I started doing this and realizing there's potential here, I'm just going to work my ass off until it got to a point where I couldn't do both anymore. And I would not recommend that strategy as it just about hit me to the breaking point where I was working so much. Well, on my regular job where I was spending 50 hours a week as an environmental health and safety manager, and then going to do everything with East Meets West, the podcast, the video, the writing, all that stuff on the side, and every weekend driving someplace to a show or an event and doing that, it was struggling to, you know, do the thing that I loved, which is hunting and scouting and being able to do that stuff. So it came to a point where I needed to make a decision. And about 6 months ago, I was talking to Mark Kenyon from Wired to Hunt, and I asked him his opinion. I was like, when do you know to jump? And he was like, he's like, just set a date and stick to it, figure it out in the meantime. But you need to have a date set. So that's what I did. And I set that date here for the spring and just worked towards it. And it was the weirdest feeling to go into work and give my boss my 1 month's notice that I was going to be leaving and take off. It's still doesn't feel real to me as like how I could make a living doing that. But like, honestly, it comes down to all the people that are listening or watching this right now. Without those people and the support, like it sounds so cliche or whatever, but it's true. Like without that support, there's absolutely no way that I'd be able to do this without, you know, using my affiliate links that I have in the podcast notes or on my website. You know, it saves you a little bit of money on a product, but also I get a small commission off of it, and supporting these companies that are supporting me, and you know, I'm buying some of my apparel off my website, and you know, the ones that just came to the Mountain Buck Scouting Camp, and I'm going to be releasing an online course and all these other things. And if you notice, like, what I'm going to be doing going forward is, you know, putting out, you know, more content around things, but I want to do the educational side more than anything, because that's what has helped me, is what I'm kind of trying to flip and be able to help other people with. And online courses have been a huge help to me. In-person events have been a huge help to me. So that's what I'm trying to do, to be able to help others, you know, kind of be able to experience some of the same things. And I don't mean it from the standpoint of someone, you know, for someone's goal to work in the hunting industry, but I want to be able to help people be able to, you know, become a better hunter or have a better experience, is I guess a better word for it. Like, not even just a better hunter, but have a better experience, which typically comes down to being a better hunter, you know, from that and from the guests that I have on and the people that I've been able to surround myself with has been absolutely incredible. And I feel like I've definitely missed a bunch of parts of the stories. I'm just talking off the cuff and, trying to, you know, relive it, but it's been a long road, you know, a long road of working towards it. And it's just really getting started from the standpoint of now, like, this is what is making, you know, me be able to pay my house bill. And this is able to pay for food and groceries, where in the past I didn't need to worry about that. Like, this was just a side gig. And now, so that's, you know, that gets serious, but I've had to make some decisions here recently that became difficult as I've seen that, you know, once you start doing something like this, you do rely on money, but I also have some really high values from the standpoint of being honest and, you know, not using products I don't want to use or not doing anything that, you know, just doesn't feel right to me. And I've had to make some really hard decisions to not do things that, you know, financially and maybe even career wise would have been probably the best for me, or business wise would have been the best for me. But I want to stay true to everything that I hold valuable and just be honest and do everything from that perspective. So that's been the route that I've chosen to take here and work towards it. So I just, again, want to thank everybody that's been there helping me through this entire process, and yeah, just been support systems and everybody that's been behind the scenes and all my friends and some of the people that work for these companies that have just treated me so great. I look forward to the future and what's to come. But again, thank you so much. You know, your ratings and reviews on the podcast, subscribing to the podcast, the YouTube channel, all that stuff helps. So if you have any feedback for me or things I should do differently, or I always am open to that. I don't get offended. I want to do the best that I possibly can and just keep growing as a person and now as a company, and to be able to, yeah, provide some information that can help you have a better experience. So if you have any questions or anything, feel free to reach out. Love to hear from you, but, thank you so much once again, and we'll get back to talking about hunting related stuff next week.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit eastmeetswesthunt.com, Facebook at East Meets West Outdoors, and Instagram at East Meets West Hunt. If you enjoyed today's episode, please review and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.